With over 7 million copies of his books in print, humorist and satirist David Sedaris looks at the sides of life that most of us would not even notice. Described by Publishers Weekly as Garrison Keillor's evil twin, he's a born storyteller. Now, many of us first met him with his now-famous story about being a Christmas elf at Macy's. He's gone on to tell us tales about realizing he was gay, learning to speak French, his attraction to taxidermy, and to family dinners with his father dining in underpants. Well, David's latest book is a collection of essays. Let's explore diabetes with owls. David, great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, David, this is the classic question I love to ask writers. What was it like at dinner with your family?
Well, I always considered myself very fortunate in that respect. Even when I was a child, I realized how fortunate I was. There were six children in my family, and, you know, my mother was a great cook, and we would all sit at the dinner table, and my dad would leave the second that he was finished. He would eat in his underpants, and then he would leave the second he was finished. And the rest of us would sit around the table for hours and hours and hours, and just laughing and talking. And there was no better place to be. There was no better place to be than around our table. And that was the case when I was in the first grade, and that was the case when I was in the seventh grade, mm-hmm. and that was the case when I was in high school and when I came home for college. And for as long as we were all together, there was no finer place to be. I just, you know, remember watching those candles burn down, you know, the candles in the center of the table.
Right.
They would just be, you know, in time became like cigarette lighters, you know. At first they would light the cigarette for my mom, and then eventually they became cigarette lighters for everyone. And, you know, the room grew smokier and smokier. But it was just a wonderful place to be.
Well, just out of curiosity, why did your dad eat in his underpants?
Well, he just came home from work every day and just took his pants off, and then they were off until he went to work the next day. You know, it was the way that a woman might remove her high heels.
Mm-hmm.
But he just removed his trousers. Like, they were very confining. And sometimes we'd be eating and somebody would come to the door and we would think, oh, no. And he would answer the door in his underpants. And, you know, you just hope that it wasn't a friend of yours.
Better
a stranger. It drove him crazy.
What about today? What's the dinner table like for you today?
Well, I've been with my boyfriend, Hugh, for 23 years.
Oh, my. You met when you were 12, right?
We met when I was 11, actually. We met. But he's a fantastic cook. He's happy to spend 4 hours a night making dinner. And what I like about him is that he's not a snob cook. Like, he doesn't judge other people's food. Like, if we're invited somewhere for dinner and the person prepares something that is... you know, even if it's really horrible, Hugh will eat it all. He'll never have a bad word to say about it. I think people who are confident in their ability can be generous that way.
Mm-hmm.
And for as long as I've known him, you know, when we eat dinner, there's always candles on the table. The table's always set. We're only allowed to eat dinner in front of the TV when the Academy Awards are on. That's the only time we're allowed to do it. Otherwise, you know, we're at the table just the way I grew up. When I'm signing books, I'll ask people, I'll say, oh, did you have dinner yet? Or what are you going to do for dinner? And I'm appalled by the number of people who will say, oh, you know, I'll just eat like a burrito in the car, or I'll just have some crackers.
Mm-hmm.
I need dinner to look forward to. Maybe because I quit drinking and I quit smoking. So all I really have to live for is dinner.
Do you and Hugh throw dinner parties?
You know, when you throw parties or something, sometimes it just doesn't work out. You know, you do all this work and then you have people over and it just doesn't take off for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards you think, what was it? Who was it? Can we blame any one person in particular? Or was it the combination? If this person had been sitting at the other end of the table, would it have been better? You know, it's a chemistry project, really.
And it is chemistry. Someone once said to me, who was famous for giving parties, that the thing she worked hardest on was who sat next to who at the table.
But I think that's a luxury problem from the days of yore, really, because now I think a problem is, how do you even have a dinner party anymore? I mean, one person's lactose intolerant, another person can't eat wheat, someone's a vegetarian, someone's a pescatarian.
That's a good point.
You know, yeah. that was the thing I noticed in France. People eat stuff there. You know, you can actually have a dinner party. We've never had that problem in France.
What about England?
In England, it's more of a thing.
Complete change of subject. You wrote a great piece in The New Yorker about the Fitbit. Tell me about it.
Oh, yes. I got a Fitbit at the end of February, and I have a friend who has one, and she'll eat lunch while hula hooping. And she'll sometimes go to the Y three times a week. And so she was really involved with her Fitbit. And I immediately became super involved with my Fitbit. You know, it wants you to walk 10,000 steps, which is, for someone my height, like 4.2 miles. And once you do, it tingles, right? And then it emails you when it says, 10,000 steps, that's great. Do you think you can go 15? And I said, I think I can. And in no time at all, an average day when I'm home, I walk between 14 and 17 miles a day because of this damn Fitbit. A day. My peak, I mean, my highest so far is one day I walked 25 and a half miles.
Oh, my God. Okay, but doesn't this, you know, make Yu's wonderful abilities at the table even more tempting?
Well, you know, it's great because if you've walked 25 and a half miles, you can pretty much eat whatever you want to.
Good point.
You know, because you just burned, I don't know. It tells you, the Fitbit tells you how many calories you've burned. So, yeah, if you walk 25 and a half miles, you can eat, you can have all the ice cream you want. But I've met a lot of people on this book tour, and they say, oh, I have a Fitbit, too, and I'm completely obsessed with it. And I say, well, I don't see it. And they say, well, I left it at home. Then don't say you're obsessed. I would never. Sometimes I charge it. You know, you have to recharge it.
Right.
And I'll put it back on to run to the bathroom because I don't want to miss those steps.
David, thank you for talking with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
David Sedaris' latest book is Let's Explore Diabetes with Owls. Now, as an homage to David's British life, we thought you might appreciate a recipe for a British sweet from Nigella Lawson. Hokey Pokey. Take a look at it. It's at splendidtable.org.